Anyway, I got to turn that on. So 1 Peter 3:8-22 is where we're going to go. But while we're thinking about it, how dirty are your windows? You see, we all have a conscience. Sometimes we wish we didn't. If you didn't have a conscience. But anyway, we won't go there just yet. But depending on, and I'm going to compare this, depending on how dirty your windows are, you can see. If it gets dirty enough, you can't see. You got to clean them every now and then. And I think we should. But that has a lot to do with our conscience. These verses that we're going to read speak on the conscience. So if you can, stand up in reverence to God's word. If you can't, that's all right. The Lord understands. We're going to read verses 8 through 22 of 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, finally, let me make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. Yep. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That means your walk in Christ. But it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, but being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for the blessings you give us. We ask, Lord, that you would look down upon us today. Be in our presence, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Give us discernment. We ask, Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they've never asked you into their heart, that they can't guarantee, they can't honestly say that they know they'll go to heaven. Lord, open their hearts that they understand that they need to call upon you. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with us. Lord, the arm of flesh has failed us and failed us many times, but Lord, will you know that you will not fail us, and we thank you for that. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus, and in his precious name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, these verses that I said, they speak on the conscience. What is the conscience? Well, here's a good definition, I think. I heard this. That little voice that you hear that says, somebody may be watching. You ever been in that situation where you shouldn't do what you're going to do because there ain't nobody watching, so you're going to do it? But that little voice is kind of like, somebody's watching. You ever been there? I'd say you have. I'm not the only one. It's really that inner monitor or judge that says, hey, that's not right. Or it might say, hey, that's a good thing. Go for it. You know, you got that voice in there. We're built with that. We were created to understand and to know that there is a God. There is no one on the face of this earth that honestly can say there is no God and seriously mean it. They're lying to you. Amen. Let me reframe, back up. The normal individual. There are people, according to the Word of God, that has been turned over to a reprobate mind. In other words, there are people that have went so far, they've abandoned the whole idea of a God, period. They don't want nothing to do with it. They could possibly do that. But just the normal old Joe out here, that's just cruising around, living life, maybe a good guy, maybe a bad lady, maybe whatever, they do realize there is a God. They do have that conscious state that says, oh, that ain't a good idea. Or they might have something in there that said, oh, that was nice of you. You know, I've had that talk to me before. That's in there. Conscience is in there. Conscience is mentioned. I think conscience is important. Conscience is mentioned 31 times in the New Testament. Talked about 31 times in the New Testament. Apparently, conscience is an important thing. And it's like an elbow. Everybody's got one. We all have one. Sometimes we wish we didn't, as I said, but we do have one. In the Old Testament, it doesn't ever say conscience, but it does give examples of the conscience. Now, Romans 15:4 says that all these things that happened in the Old Testament happened for a purpose, and that purpose is for our learning. Now, I mentioned this the other day. There's things that went on back then, and you're like, what's that got to do with me? How can you apply what happened to your life? And I always use the easy one because it's good to use the easy one. David, King David goes out there at about 15, 16, 18 maybe, and he kills the huge giant Goliath. Now, that took a lot of bravery. But it was a giant that needed to be done away with, and he was willing, but he done it through God. Listen, what's that? How does that apply to my life? Well, I had a drug problem at one time. That was a giant in my life. I defeated that giant in my life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave me what I needed. I did a drug program for a number of years. I was the director of it. It's called RU. RU. That means Reformers Unanimous. Out of that drug problem, I don't know how many people we went through. The drug courts would make them come. We were mixed in with them. And the drug courts used us. Now, they couldn't push it because we're faith-based. But the judge would say, Judge Booth, she was the drug court judge, she would say, now, I can't force you to go to Brother Jim's class, but it would make me very happy if you did. Who do you want to make happy? The judge. So they would come. Out of all those people, only a handful honestly can tell you got it together. But nonetheless, they heard the gospel. They heard the way to get away from it. But they had to make that conscious choice to do so. There it is, conscience. So once they made that step, this is what I want to do. The Lord kicked in and helped them out. And if they were willing, the Lord would help them. Well, he did. He helped several. And so I got to admit, it done a real good job. Now, As I said, in the Old Testament, it doesn't really mention the word conscience, but it gives you an example. It insinuates it. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, they did what? They ran and hid from God. That was their conscience. It told them, you guys are naked. Now, before sin, they didn't realize, and it was no big issue. But after they sinned, we got to hide. God's coming in here to walk with us. God's, hey, where are you guys at? Oh, well, we were ashamed and we were hide. Conscience. There's another one. I just mentioned him. King David. King David, he was a covetous, lying murderer and a womanizer. A man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But he had that side of his life that wasn't real good. But he had a conscience. And in the Bible, you read about David after a lot of things he'd done, and it said it smote his heart that he had done such things that were so bad. He said, I have sinned against you, God. It wasn't that he read it. He knew it. You see, when we sin against God, whether we're saved, whether we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior or not, whenever we go against God, we know that wasn't a good idea. That wasn't a good thing to do. Now, I'm not saying it stopped you, but nonetheless. Now, there's a different kind. There's different kinds of consciences. There's a good conscience. And this one enables you to be good and not to be afraid of things. That's a good one to have. There's a defiled conscience. Oh, turn. Hang on to Peter and go over to Titus. It's just a few pages back toward the front. If you get to Timothy, you went too far. Come back to Titus. And it says in here, let's see, Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. There is a defiled conscience. And honestly, this allows you to do what they did in Judges. In the book of Judges, it said, everybody done what was right in their own eyes. They didn't have a king. Actually, they did. He was God, but that ain't what they wanted. They wanted a king. Kind of like the United States today. The United States really ain't got a leader. We got a poor fella that his wife ought to be horsewhipped. The guy's got dementia. He should not be in the position he's in. He don't even know what room he's in. He even said the other day, we got 54 states. 54, he's the president. So we really have none. What we've got is people in America doing what's right in their own eyes. Now, that's not a good thing. You see, when we have a defiled conscience, this allows us to live how we see fit. Whatever we feel like, that's the right way. Well, I'm going to kill my unborn baby. Well, it's okay. If it says you can, it's not against the law. So people just do it. Well, we got people going into stores and just ramshacking the stores and walking out knowing they're stealing. They don't care. I'm going to do what's right because I need this. I need this big screen TV, so I'm going to carry it out. I need this pair of tennis shoes because LeBron James wears them. Well, bless your heart. I wouldn't wear it if he did. But anyway, I won't get into LeBron James. They just doing whatever they feels right. That's a defiled conscience. That conscience is so defiled that there. You see, the conscience, you got to remember this, because it's important in our world today, and it's been going on for a long time. The conscience can be taught, trained, educated. Which is what we see going on in our schools. It's what we see going on in our video games. It's what we see going on in our television sets. It's It's what you see going on in our government. We got schools inviting drag queens to come read stories to kindergarten. Hello? That's wrong in every possible way it is. Listen, I'm going to be up front with you. You want to be a drag queen, that's your problem. Go do it. By all means, it's a free world. Do what you want to do. But I ain't got to accept it, and we dang sure don't need to be teaching it to kindergartners.
Amen.
But what's that doing? It's teaching them. In today's world, and I said 30 last night, or maybe the night before, whatever. And somebody said, no, back that up to 40. I'm like, okay. Pretty much 40-year-olds down. If you mention to me, or if you mention to my dad, especially my dad's generation, you mention in my generation, homosexuals, lesbian, LGBTQ, plus C, F, Y, Z, and whatever else they got. You mention all pansexual and woke. That's the biggest joke. Anyway, you mention all of that to me or to my dad, I'm like, what are they, idiots? Do what you want to do. I don't care. Just don't force me to agree with you. You want to live that life? Go for it. You're going to pay for it, either here or there, but you'll pay for it. But now, 40 years old and backwards, it's no big issue. Oh, they have, yes, they give them rights. Why? Woman and woman can get married and have all the same rights I have with my wife. Actually, they've got more rights than me and my wife. That's hogwash.
Amen.
That's just, well, I can't say what I want to say. It's just wrong in so many ways. Two men get married and adopt children. That's just wrong. It should not be allowed to happen. But these people from about that age on down accept it. Oh, yes. It should be. It's not a big issue. I've got, I know people, and I won't mention names because it'll go out on the air eventually. I know people that they don't have a problem. Matter of fact, some of their friends are lesbian. Some of their friends are homosexuals. Oh, they're not a big, some of them are LGBTQ. I'm going to be up front with you. I don't have any friends that are. Now, they may like me, but that's their business. They may like me in the wrong ways. but I don't have any friends. Do I ignore them or not talk to them? No. I'll talk to them. I offered, me and her caught a plane out of Florida, I think it was. I don't remember. Two lesbians come on the plane. They're walking looking for a seat. Me and her sitting here, and somebody's got to get a window seat. That means you're going to be separated. Anyway, the one lady says, well, can I sit over here? And the other one right behind her says, well, I'll just sit over here. I said, you know what, guys? I said, hey, you two, take the middle seat and the plane seat. She moved to the aisle seat, and I was sitting on the aisle seat. Don't reach over and touch her. You know, I'm nice to them, but I don't have to accept what they do. I let them do it. I'm not going to go out and shoot them and beat them up. Live your life. You do what you want to do. Same thing with prostitution. You want to go down there and sell your body or men, whatever, go. But I don't have to accept it. But that's the problem. See, they want you to accept it, and they have a generation or two generations that do accept it as normality. Listen, it is not normal. Chickens don't breed chickens. Roosters breed hens. That's just the way it works. One of them goes cluck, 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 and she lays an egg. The other one goes cock-a-doodle-doo, and he fertilizes the egg, and then you get little chickens. Two little hens can't do that. animals and chickens are dumber than a box of rocks, and they know better. But we got a problem. We want to glorify them, embrace them, and we wonder why our nation is in the shape it's in. It's because we embrace all this mess. But they've been taught to, so I get it. You know, they've been taught to do this, and so I understand it. You see, this way we can believe everything that's supposed to be that they want you to believe. They teach the conscience. Now, you also have an evil conscience. So we've got a good conscience, and we'll talk about it. We've got just your normal old conscience. It's defiled. TV's defiled it. And it goes way back. The most I can remember is The Odd Couple. I've mentioned this before. Everybody remembers The Odd Couple. They were funny. One of them was portraying a homosexual. We didn't get it. Not really. We thought about it, but it's like, nah. Because they were all in the closet where they should have stayed. But anyway, nonetheless, that's where they were searing your conscience. But first you got an evil conscience. That evil conscience will accuse you of doing good things. When you do a good thing, it'll accuse you of that. These are people that are living on the lowest level there is. They're being controlled. Many of them are possessed with evil. They're possessed by demons. You got the satanic worshipers. They'll tell you, well, we don't really worship Satan. And some of them don't. They worship self. That's what Satan wants. You got the Wiccans, the witches. They think, oh, they're good people. Listen, they're just as evil as a satanic worshiper. They worship self, and they think they can do spells. And anyway, it's all evil. All of that mess is evil. You've got the some of them that don't even use religion. They're just humanism. They worship the humans. And you got the ones that worship the creation. They even build idols. It talks about it in the Bible. They build an idol and the thing can't hear, can't talk, can't touch, can't feel. And then they fall down at it. Listen, I'm not dumb. I'm not going to build a chair and cover it in gold and then bow to it and pray. Hello. Anyway, that's just an evil conscience. Then you've got a seared conscience. Go to 1 Timothy because you were right there by it. You got Titus and you got 1 Timothy, and I think we want to go to chapter 4. Yeah, or write it down, chapter 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, basically, they've lived in sin so long that their conscience doesn't bother them. When I was a kid, I'm sitting there, and I have to take these off because I don't want to break them. I'm sitting there on the couch, we're watching TV, and this show come on, and all of you know what show it is, called The Graduate. And it's rated for TV. Well, in this show, this woman seduces a college guy. Well, I'm sitting there watching the show, and it's like it's boring anyway. It's all this kissing and what have you going on. I'm like 12. And all of a sudden, this woman kicks her legs out there to roll her stocking up in my dad's hand. Whoa, don't look, boy! You know, and about blinded me. See, we don't do that no more. You don't have that anymore. It's no big issue that you have nudity on TV. Regular TV nowadays, you don't even have to have cable. You know, used to, you had to have some pretty good channels to get that kind. Yeah, but it's no issue. When I was a kid, they had Cross Your Heart Bra and they put it on a dummy. Now we got Victoria's Secret. Most of them look like crackheads. But anyway, you know, I like people with meat on their bones. Some of them look, they really do. They look like drug heads. But anyhow, they have a seared conscience, though. These things doesn't bother them anymore. See, that's where we've been going all these years. We've been moving from the Cross Your Heart bra on a dummy to Victoria's Secret commercials or pageants or whatever they call them is no big issue for us anymore. And we wonder why our country's in the shape it's in. Well, now, in our text, 1 Peter, he speaks on the conscience. Peter knew a lot about conscience. When you read about the Apostle Peter, his conscience talked to him a bunch. You know, the last one that you really remember is he followed afar off. You see, he got way away from Jesus when they arrested him. He got way away from Jesus, but he was way back here, and he kept following to see what was going to happen to Jesus. And he's out there, and when somebody says, "Hey, you're one of them. You one of them that was following him?" "No, not me. I don't know him." Now, Jesus had said, "Listen, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. You deny me three times is what's going to happen." There was once. And then somebody else comes along and said, "Yeah, I believe you was with him. I saw you with him." He said, "No, I don't know the man. I swear I don't." Then he's over there and it's cool night, you know. He's warming his hands by the fire. Coals going, and man, he's over there seeing what they're going to do with Jesus. And one of them walks up and says, "Hey, he's one of them. His speech proves that. Blankety blank blank, beep beep beep, I don't know the man." And all of a sudden, and what did Peter do? Said he wept bitterly. See, his conscience was talking to him. You see, we get to that point in our lives, if we're not careful, that we get a seared conscience. Things doesn't bother us. And if we get to that point, we're in danger of a lot. Now, are we doing good? Another hour, we'll be done. No, I'm kidding. 8 through 22 of 1 Peter 3. It speaks on the blessings of having a good conscience. Living a life not ashamed. Living a life with a good conscience, you can live a life of not being ashamed. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil." In other words, do away with evil. "And do good. Let him speak peace. Let him seek peace." Oh, and ensue it. Not just seek it, but go for it. Grab a hold of it. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Listen, that's an important thing. The Lord hears our prayers. When we have a good conscience, when we're living life like we ought to, if we're having a consistent walk, and a good conscience, by the way, will enable a believer to be consistent in their walk. Amen. It will enable that. Now, we need to understand, we need to be a child of God. I'm going to be up front with you. If I was to ask you right now, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if somebody walked in that door, and they can, and they do in churches, happened a year or so ago in Texas, and walked in there and just, now I might take him out, but some of us is going down. Will you wake up in heaven? Do you know that for a fact? Could you bet your pinky that if you die right now, you'll go to heaven? If you honestly can't tell me, well, yeah, I'd go to heaven. I'm going to be up front with you. You're probably going to go to hell. I doubt you know the Lord. "Well, I got baptized when I was 8. Well, bless your heart, you got a bath. That's about all it did for you. "Well, the priest come up and laid his hand on me, and they sprinkled me, and they said, you're going to heaven. You're going to hell. So is the priest. Because he ain't no more saved in that chair. He ain't trust the Lord Jesus.
That's what it takes. Mother Mary, bless her heart. Mother Guadalupe. What's the famous one?
Mother Teresa.
I'm going to be up front with you. She's rotten in hell right now, torment, if she hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus. If she trusted in what the Catholic Church taught her, she is in hell. So is the Pope's.
Oh, but they're the voice of God on earth. They're lying. They are false teachers. They're one of the biggest cults in the world. Oh, they're not a cult. Yeah, they are. They teach you to bow down to Guadalupe and pray for her. Well, guess what? That's idol worship. We had a guy came into the church. He came in for CCW class. They did it right in that room. I got a friend of mine that does CCW classes here. He walked around and he said, "Where's all the statues at?" And Brother Tim says, "What do you mean statues?" Well, yeah, you know, you ain't got Jesus on the cross and you don't have Guadalupe and Mother Teresa. He said, "Dude," he said, "you've been in a cult way too long." He said, "We don't worship but Jesus." He said, "Well, what about him on the cross?" He said, "He ain't on the cross. Why would we have a statue of him on the cross?" He's not. He's on the right hand of God. Listen, it ain't nothing to do with religion or denomination, whether you're going to heaven. It's all about, have you asked Jesus into your heart to save you? That's what it's all about. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. The Philippian jailer come up and fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. It wasn't because Paul laid his hand on him. It had nothing to do with that. I can't save you. Only you can ask the Lord Jesus. Now, where's he at? A good conscience, it enables us, when we're saved, if we got a good conscience, it enables us to walk a consistent walk for the Lord. You see, Peter said there's three levels to live on. return evil for good. That's the lowest level. Well, I'm going to get even with that son of a... Yep, I'll get even with him. I don't get mad, I get even. That's returning evil. That was my theory for a lot of years. Oh, I don't get mad. I just get even. You will close your eyes one day and I'll be there. You see, that's a wrong thought. That's an evil thought, to be honest with you. Oh, well, that you blankety blank, 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 blank. Well, what are you cussing them out? They cussed me out. What's that? Oh, that one there. Yeah, they'll do that on the highway. You ever been told you're number one? I have. I trucked for a long time, so I was told I was number one a lot. I was told I was number one just a few weeks ago. And I'm like, I know it. Well, you know what your thoughts, what mine used to be? I'll teach you a lesson. I run a car one night. If you ever been on the highway, it's from Barstow to Bakersfield. It's lonely out there between there and Richfield. There's a guy come by me, slowed down, flipped me off, and screamed out the window, and I could hear him. And I'm like, "You'll regret that." He was in an old 78 Oldsmobile. I run him so hard with my Peterbilt, you couldn't even see his trunk. He had no idea I had the kind of power I had. We were like 100 miles an hour. I am shifting gears and just gassing, and I'm thinking, go ahead, hit the brake. That'd be stupid. All of a sudden, I see smoke coming up, and I'm like, uh-oh. I back off, and his car is just smoke boiling out. He pulls up. Do you know how stupid that was? That was rendering evil for evil. He was evil to me, and I was evil right back. I could have killed him, and I'd still be in jail. See, that ain't the kind, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be on that. Then we got the human level, which is where most of us are. That's where I was talking about. Good for good, evil for evil. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I don't get mad, I get even. See, that's wrong. But that's where most people live at, because that's what we were taught. You know, the Lord said, treat people the way you'd want them to treat you. It doesn't matter what they do to you, treat them the way you would want to be treated. You see, that's where we ought to be. A Christian should never be on the evil level, and really we shouldn't be on that human level. Anybody can live on those levels. Anybody can, but listen, we're not anybody. We are called to a higher calling from God. We're called, if you're saved, you have been called of God to the highest level on the face of this earth. If you are saved, you know you're going to heaven, you know you're a child of God, guess what? That's as highest as you can get. Amen. Doesn't matter how educated you are, it has nothing to do with that. You see, it is a high level of calling from the Lord Jesus, but it's not easy to do it. It's not easy to live that kind of life. Anybody tells you it is, it's not. But if you have a good conscience, this you know, this you can do. First, you should know God's watching over you. God's taking care of you. He's not going to... Now, well, what about these people in chapter 11? They died serving God. That's right. God delivered them, though, did he not? They're his children. Listen, they're in heaven. You have no idea what we got coming. I'm going to mention that tonight in a little devotion. A few things is coming. You've all heard of the holy city, Jerusalem. The new heaven, the new earth. I'm going to mention that about that tonight. You don't want to miss that. It's good. You see, if we really love life, honestly, it says in here, love life and good deeds. If you really love that, you want to have a good conscience. You want to have a conscience that's clear. A good day is when you enjoy the blessings of the Lord. My conscience is good. I can lay down and sleep and rest knowing that I have nothing to fear. I can honestly lay down at night. When I get up in the morning, I don't have to open the blinds to see who's out there waiting. I've been there. I don't have to open the blinds and wonder if the cops are waiting on me. When I hear somebody knock on the door, I don't have to say, You know, somebody else answers the door, and if it's who I think, I ain't here. I don't have to be that way no more. Because I try to have a good conscience. You see, it's not saying that, well, I was right for doing what I did. They deserve what I said or did, really. Think about this. And this is what I kind of dwell on. I know. Think about this. The person you may be dealing with may be lost. That means they're dying. They're going to hell one day. They may not even believe in hell or heaven, but that's where they're going to go. That's the best they're ever going to get. Why harass them now? Be nice to them. If they don't want to listen to you, if they don't want to trust the Lord Jesus, be nice to them. Walk away. We shouldn't argue. If we go out, hey, how you doing? I'd like to invite you to Wagon Wheel. Oh, by the way, do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior? Well, ain't nothing Jesus can do for me. Don't argue with him. Okay. I'll pray for you. Walk off. Leave them alone. Listen, this is the best they're ever going to have. Why do you want to make them miserable? Let them enjoy what they got. Listen, we need to be staying away from evil, and he said pursuing peace. That which is good, pursue peace. How many times do you think you'd have been out of trouble, you'd have ended arguments, if you'd have just shut up? Do you know how many times, if I had have just went, I wouldn't have been like this in the next step, wondering, can I really take this guy? And there was a few times I did, and there was a few times I didn't. It was like, oh, after that first hit, you're like, oh, that was dumb. If we'd have just backed off and said, you know what, dude, I ain't got no problem with you. Be cool. You know, I'm gone. Oh, that's chicken. Whatever you call it. I'm going to tell you what my dad told me. And this will go for females as well.
If you'd walk away, walk away. If they lay their hands on you, make it worse than they thought it could ever be.
I'm all for protecting yourself. But if somebody's cussing you out, don't cuss them back. What's the point? It's just going to escalate the problem. Just say, and walk away. I said this before, I'll say it again. Consider the source. The source is evil. Have a good conscience. It's the way you're going to lay down at night and you can rest and really, really relax. You see, we ought to be trying to be peacemakers. If we want a good conscience, we need to just walk away. By the way, you see, a clear conscience gives us clear windows. And it gives us that walk that we can walk together in unity with those that are here today. Well, I can't stand so-and-so. She sits over here on the left side. If you can't get along with all of us in church, how in the heck are you going to ever be a testimony on the outside of church? You can't. And by the way, if you truly are saved, you got to live with them forever. You better be getting along now. All right, I'm hurrying. If we can't get along in church, it's going to be hard elsewhere. Listen, if you got problems with your conscience, you got problems, your windows are dirty, clean them. 1 John 1:9 says, listen, if we'll ask Jesus for forgiveness, that ain't talking about salvation. That's talking about we need to clean ourselves up, ask Him for forgiveness of our known sins. He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In other words, He puts a little Windex on there and, there's a spot. And you're clean again. It'll help it come in and your conscience says, yeah, that was stupid. You don't want to do that again. We need a clean conscience. You see, it'll help us to be confident as a witness. Don't just talk about, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Well, you better be walking it because people are going to test you. What is it to be sanctified? Who do you fear? Do you fear man? I don't. I went to my doctor because of my hand. I'm supposed to have this thing on, but I went to my doctor, and if I had that thing on, see, I couldn't wear my watch and I wouldn't know what time it is, which it don't matter anyway, but if I went to my doctor, I went the other day, he said, you interested in the flu vac? And I said, nope. He said, you interested in the COVID vaccine? I said, nope. He said, you aren't kidding, are you? I said, they'll shoot me in the front yard first. Oh, it's good for you. And I said, no, it ain't. I said, when they got to force you to take it, I said, there's something wrong. Amen. I said, I ain't taking their flu vac and I ain't taking their vaccine. He said, not going to take it. Don't ever ask again. I said, that's a good thing to write down on my chart. He said, I will. He said, I'll never ask you again. I said, good. You see, I don't have to worry about where I'll wake up. I may have to have a blood fight outside with battle gunfight, but I'll wake up in heaven. I ain't worried about it. You see, we need to know that being sanctified, we're set apart. We're God's. He loves us. He's going to take care of us. Now, I got something I want to throw out here. Because verse 20 and 21 of 1 Peter 3 says a lot of things. And people are always, what's this talking about? How come he brought Noah into all this? He said, which sometime we're disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was preparing and 8 souls were saved by water, and it's a like figure where baptism saves us. That ain't what he's saying. Baptism don't save you. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus and you die before you ever get baptized, you'll wake up in heaven. Baptism is following the Lord Jesus. But this is I want you to understand that. And he said, before I read to you what I'm going to read to you, I want you to understand, he says, a good conscience toward God. Listen, if anybody asks me, they say, are you a Christian? I can say, yes. Have you ever been baptized? I can say, yes, because that's the first obedient
to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a good conscience toward God that when I stepped out in faith and I asked Jesus to save me, to come into my heart in 1984, and that I would be a child of God, the next step was baptism. That was the next step of obedience to God. If I got saved and I hadn't got baptized, I ain't talking about, well, I was confirmed at 8. Well, bless your heart. I was confirmed when I was a baby. They sprinkled me. My mom said I cried. Well, I'm sure some idiot throwing water in your face. I mean, you know, I had better sense than that. I'm talking about when you ask Jesus into your heart and you know you got saved, the next step was baptism. And if you hadn't done that, listen, you're not following the Lord in scriptural baptism. You don't have a good conscience with God.
Because that's your next step. You are to be scripturally baptized, not sprinkled, not a little blood of water dumped over your head, laid down in the water, and raised back up. That's a picture of the death of Christ. It's a picture of our death. We're baptized, the old nature, and risen again to walk in the newness of life. Do we walk perfect in that newness of life? No. Because we're saved sinners. I have a hard time not sinning. I sin a lot less than I used to. But I'm still a human being. I ain't perfect. But I want you to think about something. He said, why did he compare baptism to Noah? Listen, the rain came down, it flooded the earth, and it buried sin. That was the whole idea of when we got saved. Our old nature was buried. Had a funeral that day. But now listen. But Noah was called into the ark. The ark, by the way, is a picture of Jesus. Did you know it had one door? One door to get in. No other door. Wouldn't have passed OSHA today. You got to have 5, 6, 10 doors. And you got to have exit signs. Had one door. God did not force Noah and his family into the ark. He said, come. And they came. And God shut the door. You see, once we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in. You can't lose it. Can't nobody take it. You're there. The door was shut by God. But pay attention now. It's going to be real interesting here in a minute. They were lifted up out of the water. The rains came, buried the sin. They were lifted up out of the water. And the ark was raised up and it landed on a mountaintop. On the 17th day, it landed on top of the mountain. On the 17th day of the 7th month. Now pay attention. The Jewish calendar starts with October. October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 7 months. 17th day of the 7th month, the ark rested on Mount Ararat. 17th day of April.
Okay, keep that in your mind. The Jewish calendar begins October. 7th month is April. Jesus was crucified on the 14th day of April. Jesus rose. First day of the week, 17th day of April. Interesting, huh? I just thought it was really interesting that the ark was risen up and they stayed safe. Nothing that went on outside could bother them. They were safe in the ark. We're safe in Jesus. Amen. It rested on the 17th day, the same day Jesus came out of the grave. How many years later? Several thousand years later. Just an interesting thought for you.
Noah was raised the same day Christ was raised. Noah suffered for righteousness and he ended up on top. Jesus suffered for righteousness and he ended up on top. If we suffer for righteousness, we will end up on top whether we die today or die in 10 years.
We'll end up with Jesus in heaven.
The battle's won. The victory's ours already if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. But we got to know the Lord's our Savior. You see, it's a good conscience toward God that we walk in a newness of life. That's what baptism's all about. And it's what a good conscience is all about. That we can honestly lay down at night and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for what it takes helping me to be able to lay down at night on my pillow knowing that I've served the Lord well today. And then I don't have to worry about what man can do to me. Because if I suffer for righteousness' sake, I'm going to end up on top anyway. Yeah, I may die this life. I may get shot in the front yard. But guess what? I'm going to be in heaven. I'll be delivered out of their hands one way or the other. Let's stand.